Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
Sharing the word with you. And as I mentioned last week, we started a new series here as a church, as a family, as a community. We will be looking at a Jesus-shaped life. I think that's the cover. There's actually books that go along with this. And again, I extend that invitation. If you want to follow up and follow with a book, you can let me know, and I can send you a book electronically. Or if you'd like to have the hard copy, you can request that as well, and we can provide that for you. So Lent started on Wednesday, February 22nd. That's last Wednesday. Lent started. And this is a series that will last for the entire Lent season. So it'll be 6 weeks of preaching. And again, it's starting from last Wednesday until the end of it, it'll be 40 days. So you'll see us make reference to the 40 days as we preach. As we go on through the series, you'll see us refer to the 40 days and what the journey of the 40 days is. And I just wanted to recap a little bit about that and what Lent means for us. Lent is a season where we prepare ourselves, and it comes from Jesus going into the desert for 40 days before he was handed over, right? So before Easter. And if you look at the calendar, obviously Lent lines up with Easter, and it finishes with Jesus dying on the cross and then the resurrection 3 days later. So this is Lent is just a season for us to prepare for that, for us to remember. And then I just wanted to mention, sometimes we do things out of tradition. And I want to encourage you to go beyond that this season. As we begin Lent, I want you to think about going beyond that. I want you to think about doing Lent because we want more of God. Doing Lent because we want to remove barriers so that we're more in tune with God. And using Lent to recenter our lives, recenter our minds, and recenter our hearts to align with God, right? So that's the goal of our series. You'll see I'll be preaching today. Next week it'll be bright, and after that it'll be melt. So you'll see six different ways I'm trying to connect with Jesus, try to get to that a Jesus-shaped life. What does that look like? What does that mean as as individuals? How do we do that? So we're going to tackle that over the next 6 weeks. So I'm hoping that you'll join us for that time, and that it'll be a blessing for you as we move forward. Before I start to share, I'm just going to pray. So I just ask you to pray with me. Loving and gracious Father, we thank you for the beauty and majesty we see in your creation, even in the midst of so much uncertainty in our world. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you for all that you have done and continue to do in our lives. God Almighty, our Creator, our Father, we come to you as your children whom you love. Let us be still and know that you are our God. Come and be with us. We surrender our time to you. God, please come and fill this place with your presence. Come and be with us and help us draw closer to you. Lord, I pray that my words come from you and be used to draw us closer to you. Help us to focus on you and your will for our lives. Help us to listen to what you have prepared for each one of us. Guide us, comfort us, and nurture us as we grow deeper into our relationship with you. Come. Thank you, Father. Amen. For a way to get started here today, feel free to, some of this, just speak out as you'll see what I mean. It's just a little bit of fill in the blanks. So the first one is, Wheaties is the breakfast of?
Champions,
yes. Nike tells us, just do it. KFC describes their food as finger-licking good, yes. We own all these things, and the reason why we know this is because companies spend millions of dollars advertising and sharing that with us, right? Did you know that on a regular basis, a child and an adult see between 6,000 and 10,000 ads a day? All over the place. as you see all those ads, they work. We remember their slogans. They change our spending habits, which is what ultimately marketing companies want to do. They want you to get you to buy what they're selling. Know that just ads we're talking about, whether we realize it or not, we're being influenced by them. There's forces that shape the way we think, what we value, and how we relate to people. For example, our friends' opinion influences us. Neuroscientists say that the internet changes the way our brains are structured. Cell phones and social media change the way we relate to each other. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there is another force at work in our life, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit within us, and He is shaping us into the image of Jesus. That is our journey over the next 6 weeks, over the next 40 days, understanding what it means to be shaped into the image of Jesus. This is God's plan for us. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 begins, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified." What does sanctified mean? Sanctified means holy. God wants to make us holy. Now, does that inspire you or does that make you cringe? Your answer likely depends on how you see or what you think the meaning of holy is. If you think holy is a code for well-behaved, then you probably won't be enthusiastic about being holy. If you imagine holiness as being grim, duty-bound exercise in rule-keeping, you'll probably say, "I'll pass." But in reality, true holiness bears no resemblance to those cliches and stereotypes. Holy is a word the Bible uses to describe God's character. Holiness is not rule-keeping. It is a word that sums up God's goodness and His power. Holiness is wholeness. It is our outer life matching our inner life. It is made up of life-giving emotions, thinking, and actions. It is a life as God originally intended at creation. To become holy means to be more like Jesus. Can we be just like Jesus? We can definitely try and work on it. We want to think like Jesus. We want to relate to others like Jesus did. We want to get to know the Heavenly Father like Jesus did. We want to obey the Father like Jesus did. It's about the process. So I want to encourage you to never be discouraged. God will give us the power to fulfill His will for each one of us. He won't just sit back and watch you struggle. He will empower us to grow. That is what this series is all about. It's about growing. It's about the process. It's about the journey. So we want you to journey with us over the next 6 weeks. And sometimes sin gets in our way of following Jesus. And that's normal and natural. Jesus saved us both from the penalty and the power of sin. There's a popular bumper sticker that reads, "Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven." And that is true, but it's not the whole story. That implies that Christians and non-Christians might live the same way, but that the believer will be forgiven by God. And that's not what the Bible says. Romans 6:6-7 says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." Followers of Jesus used to be ruled by sin. That is, we did what it said. Sometimes, inside of us, something will say, "Why do they have that and I don't?" Envy. And we would do it. We would envy. But now, we're no longer slaves of sin. We don't have to obey its orders. Sin might say, "Lie, it's okay." But now, we can say no. There is no sin that God cannot free you from. I want to say that one more time. There is no sin that God cannot free you from. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God saves us from the penalty of sin by forgiving us and from the power of sin by purifying and changing us. We can print new bumper stickers that say, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiving and becoming more like Jesus. And that would be the whole story. Or another bumper sticker that says, just a sinner saved by grace, being changed by grace. Who would like one of those bumper stickers? I would too. Those give a better picture. Even though we have been set free from slavery to sin, becoming like Jesus is normal, but not natural. Meaning it doesn't come to us easily or without work or thinking or put in an effort. It's a process, and it takes time and a lot of effort. We might think that holy people are born that way, but actually, they're born again that way. When we come to Christ, we are given a new nature, but our old nature doesn't automatically go away. Galatians 5:16-17 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. When you feel that inner tug of war between God's way and sin's way, you are feeling the conflict between your old nature and your new nature. Don't believe that you're destined to keep tripping over the same sins. Verse 16 says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He will empower us. He will guide us. And it will become easier. But again, it's a process. When we can learn to live under the Spirit's power instead of our old nature, the process of learning is called spiritual growth. When we learn to lean into the Spirit's power, here's what happens. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? We don't strive for these traits. As we work to become like Jesus, they grow in us. When the Spirit is in charge, we have a part to play in our growth. But the Holy Spirit is the power. One of the ways that God's Spirit empowers us is to recognize sin. We can't avoid what we can't see. I'm sure most of you have a vehicle that warns you when you're going to hit something, either all around you or when you're reversing. Some vehicles have cameras. Some vehicles have the beeping when you're getting closer to hitting something. And I like the idea. It measures your trajectory and senses whether it's going to have a problem or not. The Holy Spirit can be our anti-sin warning signal. His inner prompt will alert us to where we're on a trajectory to act in a way that is not like Jesus. We might hit the sin barrier. Coming up, unless you turn, you're going to slam into sin. This helps us become more like Jesus. But sometimes we decide to override that signal and we crash into sin. Then the Holy Spirit will point out that we messed up and point us in the right direction again. It's never the end. Of course, just like a car, sometimes there's foul signals. like an overactive guilty conscience. Sometimes we feel guilty when we really shouldn't. And other times, we are oblivious to our sin. So we need the Holy Spirit to give us an accurate read, and the Bible to give us an objective understanding. God's Spirit empowers us. It helps us change our behavior. The word for this in the Bible is repent. To repent means to change our minds and then change directions. To stop going our way and go God's direction instead. Transformation into Jesus' image involves both God's power and our willingness. It's like a dance. I don't know if everybody knows this. I like to dance with my wife. But it requires two partners. God has a part to play, and we have the part to play. When we dance as individuals, as couples, it always takes two to dance. I mean, you can always dance by yourself, right? But there are some specific dances that it requires two. Our part is to be willing to change. We don't have the power in ourselves, but the Holy Spirit will only enter where He is welcome. God won't force us to change if we are intent on going our own way. W. Tozer said, God will take 9 steps towards us, but He will not take the 10th. He will incline us to repent, but He cannot do the repenting for us. If we're willing to change, we need to take a step, to take action. Getting into a small group with other followers, is an excellent step to take. Reading and studying the Bible is another excellent step to take. I want to encourage you to ask the Spirit to fill and direct you. The Spirit will produce His fruit in us. Remember, we don't strive for those traits. They grow in us. The best way to overcome the barrier of sin is not to focus on the sin we need to avoid, but on the fruit that we desire. Look to the future. What do you want? What do you desire? Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. Only the Spirit of God can empower us to live the life of God. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can shape us and transform us into the image of Jesus. Open yourself to Him. Ask Him to fill you. Do this regularly, daily. Any place where you sense you are stumbling, ask the Spirit to transform and change you. In fact, let's do that now together. My prayer for you is that you may know His love and His wisdom in your life and the transformation that comes from knowing and loving Him. May Christ dwell in our hearts through faith so that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. May we be filled with all the fullness of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.